Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Ganey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are talking about Barbie. It's finally here. Hope you enjoyed it. All about the patriarchy. Not as interesting because there's not as many horses. You know, Ryan Gosling was a little bummed when he learned that the patriarchy just wasn't all about horses. But we'll dive into that and a lot more on today's episode of Barbie, which was very good. And yes. I think, at least in my theater, was a very wide range of audience. Maybe the widest for a movie that I've seen this year. Everybody from older people to, you know, like younger kids, teenagers, yep. You know, yep. Young adults, people our age. I mean, there was a little bit of everybody in my theater. I don't know about you, but...
It was a lot of people, I would say, kind of in the 20s to 40s range. Like, I don't think there was a huge variety, but it was packed. And then I saw Oppenheimer at 9:30 in the morning, and it was also packed. And I was just like, what's going on?
I went to Barbie at 5 p.m., so maybe that's why there was a few more kids and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. I went at 8:45 p.m. Okay. So that.
But it was also packed. Both movies were packed. So,
which was awesome. I think the crowds this weekend were the most fun crowds of movies in a couple years.
Yeah. And the movie theater I went to, the staff had some fun with it too. Like, some of the guys were dressed up in Hawaiian shirts.
That's cute.
And then one guy had like a Barbenheimer shirt. So it seems like they let them have some fun with the outfits for this weekend.
That's awesome.
So,
our theater also had a bunch of extras that you could buy, but they were sold out of everything by the time I got there. So.
Yeah, ours did too, but I didn't look at that or get anything, but they had tons of stuff, tons of merch. So
people are capitalizing on Barbie, though. Every ad I get, junk mail every day in my email about shopping is like, get Barbie jewelry. Look at Zara. Look at all this pink stuff at Zara. Like, it's never ending. I have resisted, though. I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, Letterboxd even. Like, the Letterboxd page for Barbie. Something turns pink when you, I forget, it's either the stars or the... when you see you liked it, I forget. Something is pink though, on the letter. So it's, the branding for Barbie is everywhere. So
great job.
We will talk about Barbie today here in just a little bit. First though, we do have a few news items. One of those is that unfortunately Tony Bennett passed away at the age of 96 after a battle with Alzheimer's. World renowned singer, crooner, obviously had a long, long career. And then I think got a little more popular with younger people due to his work with Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. And they did a couple albums together that were very well received and were very popular, of like standards and covers and things like that. So very sad to hear of his passing, but seemed like he lived a good life. Again, he did pass away at the age of 96, just was pretty old and unfortunately did have Alzheimer's, but I think performed his last concert. It was either last year or the year before. So he was still doing a couple shows.
The only thing that made me sad, I feel like 96, that is a life well lived. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy had nothing short of fantastic experiences of his life, but and was very well respected and loved. But I was so sad that the same week that he dies of Alzheimer's, we're getting all of these news alerts about the FDA approving Alzheimer's, like a drug that will help slow it down significantly. And that just made me sad. I'm really excited about those developments scientifically. But I was sad that he couldn't benefit from those.
Yeah, but I know lots of people loved his music, kind of all ages. And his Christmas music is very popular as well. That gets played a lot around the holidays, some of the Christmas songs that he's done. So, great singer and sad to hear of his passing. But he did pass away at the age of 96. So, and then the only other news item is that Barbie and Oppenheimer both broke some box office records. We'll have more on that when we get into the box office for this episode. And then also on our Oppenheimer episode, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Barbie did win the weekend, coming in first, and then Oppenheimer was second. But as Katie and I said, it was a very, very busy weekend at the movie theater. One of the busiest that I had seen in quite some time. So,
and they said, okay, I read this was the fourth highest grossing box office weekend of all time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the top three are. I was trying to guess. I know that this is the biggest debut for a movie directed by a female ever, which is amazing. Yep. And I know that Oppenheimer did much better than they anticipated box office wise. Like, just they were surprised by like how much it made in the first weekend for a 3-hour long movie when it's up against Barbie and kind of a male dominated cast.
Yeah. Yep. And I think Oppenheimer maybe had a little more competition too with Barbie, but then also with like Indiana Jones still out and Mission Impossible still out, you know, as Oppenheimer, like you said, is a little more male dominated and maybe a little more male focused than Barbie is. It had a little bit more competition in terms of other movies that were out at the theaters that maybe people wanted to go see, but Oppenheimer still had a nice weekend at the box office. So, and this was also the first, I read this too, it's also the first time that there's ever been a movie that's made over $100 million and a movie that's made over $80 million in the same weekend. Normally, you know, if you have a big week, if you have a big weekend, it's normally one movie that's like demanding the box office. But with this being two, this was like a unique factor. So
cool.
So that's all of our news. No corrections on this episode. And for recommends, I wanted to recommend two movies that the stars of this movie are in. So I thought I'd do a Margot Robbie movie and a Ryan Gosling movie. So my recommend for Margot is going to be I, Tanya, which came out a few years ago about the story of Tanya Harding. Margot plays Tanya Harding. Really good sports movie. She does great in that role. Did not win an Oscar for that, but maybe got nominated for an Oscar.
She's nominated. I can't remember.
Yes.
That'll be highlighted in the cast section. Yes.
So really love that performance from Margot and I, Tanya. And then my Ryan Gosling movie, excuse me, was going to be The Nice Guys, which came out back in 2016. Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. It's kind of like a buddy cop movie. I feel like it wasn't super duper popular when it came out, but has gotten a little bit of a resurgence, and it's also on Netflix right now if you're interested in watching it. So if you want some more Ryan Gosling content, it's good though. So it's a comedic role, and if you liked Ryan Gosling's comedic stylings in this movie, you might want to check out the Nice Guys. So
respectfully, I think that's one of the worst things he's been in.
The Nice Guys? Okay.
Yes, I hated it. Although okay. I hate Russell Crowe.
Okay.
And I think
that's fair.
I think I just didn't like him. I don't recall having any issue with Ryan in it.
Okay.
But fair. Also, yeah. Maybe I should be fair and give it another shot. But yeah. I just mean, know, like, you, of his work, definitely not one I would.
Yeah. I mean, Blade Runner 2049 is also very good.
Mm. Drive.
Drive. Yeah. That was another one I was thinking of. So those are a little more serious roles from Ryan.
The Notebook, but Crazy Stupid Love, La La Land.
The man's done a lot. So
Yeah. Well, that was very clever. I like your recommendations.
Thanks.
I just have two. First, I'll start with, since we are covering Barbie, I have mentioned many times, I listen to The Daily, which is the New York Times podcast that comes out every weekday. And they did a fantastic episode this week on Barbie, or last week now, rather, called Can Barbie Be Rebranded as a Feminist Icon? It's only 31 minutes long. So if you want to go again, it's The Daily. It is a New York Times podcast. It was such a good episode. They talk about the evolution of Barbie, like when Barbie was created, which I think was 1959 or 69. I can't remember. It's one of those. And also they talk a little bit about Ruth Handler, which we hear about in this movie. She created Barbie. And it also talked about some of the people that were interviewed, their experience with Barbie, as well as Greta Gerwig. Oh, Jared fact-checked. Thank you. It's 1959. And I thought it was interesting, too, just since we're talking about it, not that anyone asked, but my experience with Barbie, it was interesting because that podcast really made me think about how much I loved Barbie as a kid. I was not troubled by Barbie's body or what Barbie stood for as a kid. I gained an awareness of it the older I got. So I don't know if that's normal, but I know that as a five-year-old, I had Barbies out the wazoo. I did have a Barbie dream house. I remember one Christmas getting like a Barbie. It was like a, like almost like a Cinderella pumpkin wagon thing. Wagon, not wagon. Pumpkin. What do they call that? Why can't I think of the word?
Oh, like
you know,
a
carriage.
A carriage, yes.
Anyway, I have many good memories with Barbie. I wasn't particularly enamored with Ken, but anyway, I had a Skipper. You know, I had the gang.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I think I liked it because I loved dressing her up. I loved trying to do her hair, but her hair was hard to deal with. And I really liked, it was like plays. Like I could just come up with my own little play and use my imagination. But I did understand more the problems with Barbie the older I got. So I just thought that was interesting, but it sounds like my experience was a lot like Greta Gerwig's, actually, because she really likes dolls in general. I'm not into all dolls. I had an American Girl doll who I still love, and Barbie. That was it. Anyway, that podcast was really good. If you have 31 minutes, I recommend you listen to it. And then I also wanted to recommend one book. I finished a book early hours of last night called City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert. It is several years old. This is not a brand new release. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love. She's written a bunch of books. Big Magic, I've also read. So this is a fiction book. It takes place primarily in the 1940s, I want to say. And in New York, it does go to different decades and a few different locations. It is a long book. It was just shy of 500 pages. So it did take me a while. It was excellent, though. I think it's going to be a top contender for this year for fiction for me. But it's fascinating, and it's about a woman that is living in New York City in that time period. She's very different than the family she was raised in, and she becomes a costume designer and works in a theater, and then she helps out with the war effort during World War II. Really good book. Again, it's called City of Girls.
Very cool. Very cool. Thanks. So I do like those books that kind of follow one character through, like, a time period, like maybe it's 10 years or 20 years or something. And normally those are longer books, but I do like, I don't know. I just seem to like novels where it's kind of focused on one character for most of it. Obviously there's other ones where it's like a cast of characters that are going through time periods, but if you can really connect with like one character, that's always a good one. So very cool. So we will talk about Barbie now, released on July 21st, rated PG-13 for suggestive references. In brief language, an hour and 54 minutes. IMDb is a 7.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics and audience scores are both at 90s right now. So everybody loving this movie so far. And box office wise, it had a very big weekend at the box office. Biggest opening weekend at the box office in 2023 for anything that's come out. Made $162 million so far domestically, $356 million worldwide. That's kind of insane for a Barbie movie. I think that's even better than they thought it was. I mean, they thought it was going to do well, but I think that is even a little bit better than they thought it was going to do.
Margo said she thought before that came out, said she thought it would hit a billion. And it's on track to do it.
Yeah, so. I think it's gonna do that probably no problem. So I can also see this being a movie that people go see like a second time
too. Oh yeah,
like a repeat in the theaters. Oh, yeah. So,
and because of the rating, I think a lot more people can see it, because I think they debated on R from one article I read. I don't know that they wanted R, but they considered language and stuff that would have bumped it to an R rating.
Yeah, yep.
So I think that was a good choice to not do it.
Yeah, PG-13 is definitely smart. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we talked about Oppenheimer a little bit ago, but I think that's why Oppenheimer was second, just because it is rated R. It's also longer, but it's restricting the audience a little bit when you do rated R. You can't get that teenage or younger people audience. So the synopsis for this movie is Barbie suffers a crisis that leads her to question her world and her existence. And this movie is directed by Greta Gerwig, who is a pretty well-known director at this point, especially if you're a fan of movies and kind of more artsy indie movies for sure. Mm-hmm. She's a director, writer, producer, and actress. She's known for Frances Ha, Lady Bird, and Little Women. And she's been nominated for 3 Oscars, Best Adapted Screenplay for Little Women, and then Best Original Screenplay and Best Director for Lady Bird back in 2018. Next up, she's writing the script for Snow White, which should be interesting. This is a remake of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Those Disney remakes, I'm always a little skeptical. But
me too.
If eventually Greta is writing it, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. And also, isn't the girl... I forget the actress from West Side Story. Isn't she the one that's...
Oh, yes, she is.
Why can't I think of her name?
What's her name?
She's so cute. I don't remember.
Rachel Zegler.
Thank you. I think she's playing Snow White.
Yes, and Gal Gadot is in that as well. So hopefully she's improved her acting a little bit. She's going to play the queen.
Now, I don't know who said this or how true it is, but somebody said that she was considered for Barbie, and I don't think anyone could have done it better than Margot.
No, I also, the big one I saw that was considered was Amy Schumer, and I just thought
it
would be a completely different movie. So.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. No.
Mm-mm. So she was cast. So it looks like Amy Schumer was cast back in 2016 for Barbie, but it was a kind of a different film. And then she left the film because there was like creative differences or whatever. So, and yeah, I just don't think that would have fit as well. I don't think Gal Gadot would have fit as well either. Also, did you see the controversy this week? Speaking of Gal Gadot, that she was cast in the new Cleopatra movie.
Oh, I didn't.
But she's not Egyptian. So that was kind of the backlash with that.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Let's go find in it. Oh, but she's already cast. My bad.
Yes, she is already cast. So, and like a poster came out for the movie, basically. So, but there's been a little bit of backlash that she is playing Cleopatra when she's, you know, Israeli. So,
okay. Yeah. Yep. I can understand that.
Saw that article earlier this week. So
that is a bold choice to remake Cleopatra when Liz Taylor played Cleopatra. That is what a choice.
That is best a definite choice. Yeah.
Good luck to all of you.
And Gal's last couple movies have not really been encouraging
good.
On the acting front. Red Notice was not great. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman 2 was not great. So. Need to see a good performance out of Gal. Maybe it'll be that. Maybe it'll be Snow White. We'll have to wait and see. So we'll take a break here on the show. We'll come back. We'll talk about the cast and some other fun moments and likes and dislikes for Barbie. And we're back here on the show talking about Barbie, directed by Greta Gerwig. And this movie has a large cast, but of course, in the lead role playing Barbie is Margot Robbie.
Jared, I don't think this needs to be said, but if you could just fall asleep on the crush alert button for like 5 minutes, I'd appreciate it. Go right ahead. Thank you, Jared.
I'm right there with you for Margot.
Thank you.
Say.
Aren't we all? My God, she might be one of the most beautiful people I've seen in my entire life. Love Margot Robbie. Love her. Anyway, Margot is playing the title role of Barbie. There are a lot of people named Barbie in this film, but she is the main Barbie. She is, of course, an Australian actress and producer. She is becoming a big, big producer, so I wanted to throw that in there. She's known for I, Tonya, The Suicide Squad, Birds of Prey, The Wolf of Wall Street, Amsterdam, Babylon, and About Time. In 2020, she was nominated for a Best Supporting Actress Oscar for Bombshell. And in 2018, she was nominated for Best Actress for I, Tonya. Next up, she will star in an untitled Ocean's 11 film.
Very interesting. Okay, then.
I know.
Intriguing.
And it continues with our next star here. So, Ryan Gosling. Jared, if you could just press the crush alert button, maybe go to the bathroom and come back, that would be great. Go right ahead. Thank you, Jared. Ryan Gosling. I mean, who doesn't love this man? I don't want to know who doesn't love this man because he's perfect. He is, of course, maybe our favorite Canadian. Best known for Blue Valentine, Drive, The Notebook, Lars and the Real Girl, Crazy Stupid Love, and La La Land. In 2007, he was nominated for a Best Actor Oscar for Half Nelson. And in 2017, he was nominated for a Best Actor Oscar for La La Land. He has 4 upcoming projects listed, including Wolfman, Project Hail Mary, which we've talked about previously, The Fall Guy, and the untitled Ocean's 11 film I just mentioned with Margot. Yeah,
him and Margot are going to team back up for that one.
And then this movie, Jared mentioned it, this cast is outstanding. We're going to have the same issue with Oppenheimer. It's hard to even say who to mention, what cameos to talk about, what have you. But here are some of the familiar faces you'll see. America Ferrera, Kate McKinnon, Issa Rae, Will Ferrell, Alexandra Shipp, Emma Mackey, Harry Neff, Dua Lipa, Simu Liu, Nicola Coughlin, Kingsley Ben-Adir, Scott Evans, and John Cena, to name a few.
Yeah, loaded cast for Barbie. So
yes.
Now before we get into our likes and dislikes, we're just going to talk about some funny moments. So if you have not seen the film, again, we're going to have some spoilers. So I would go watch Barbie and then come back and listen to the rest of this if you have not seen Barbie yet. But we both had some moments that we definitely enjoyed in this movie. One of those was the character of Alan, played by Michael Cera. Just a really funny comedic character throughout this entire movie, doing multiple things that were very funny. My favorite was when they were trying to capture the Barbies to basically unbrainwash them. And
Me
there's
too.
A part where Michael Cera is trying to climb over this fence and he like tries to hop it. He can't do it. Then he gets a chair and he can't get up there on the chair either. It's all happening like in the background of this scene too. But that was probably my favorite Michael Cera moment, or the joke he had about the wall. And he said, when they start figuring out how to build it horizontally, we'll really be in trouble.
I'm positive that's part of what's contributing to the woke thing that people are really upset about with this movie. But man, that was funny. For me, the entire character of Alan was just hysterical. My favorite was when he made a comment about NSYNC and said, I mean, really, they were all Alans. And I was like, I don't know if that's the funniest thing I've ever heard or if it's super insulting. But it was funny because our friend of the show, Brandon, that we've talked about, that has been on the show before. So we went to go see the movie together, and I went with Mandy, too, who's also been on the show. And Brandon was like, I got a T-shirt for Barbie. I was like, great. I show up to the theater. He's wearing a T-shirt with Alan on it, but I hadn't seen the movie yet. And I was like, who is this?
Okay.
Because I was so confused. And Alan, when you look at the character and it's just the cartoon, like the Barbie, it looks so much creepier than Michael Cera. And I was like, Brandon, what is this? But he told me it was Alan. And then I watched the movie and it was hysterical. But at first I was like, what a bizarre shirt.
What a random shirt there. Nice job there, Brandon. Yes.
Yeah. And then, one thing I really liked, Ken's line. This was one of the funniest things, I think, in the whole movie, because you just didn't anticipate he was going to say this. Margot, towards the end, she's denied Ken. Like, she doesn't kiss him. There's no romantic anything between them. But she comes to his house, and they're going to, like, hang out that night. And he's so excited. He goes around the corner. You expect him to just, I thought, scream. And after almost an uncomfortable amount of silence, he screams, Sublime. I didn't know what very to do funny. With myself. It was so
very, very funny. Yeah, my theater was not laughing a ton either, like laughing out loud, but I was.
Oh.
So I thought it was, there was some ours, very funny moments.
Ours
yours
was
dying. Okay, good.
Yeah, and people clapped and stuff, like
okay.
At the beginning. People clapped when the patriarchy speech happened.
Yeah.
It was really, or not, fair. Yeah, clapped.
Yeah, yep.
One more. This was my favorite thing of the whole movie, Jared. I don't know if this happened to you, but this, without question, this was my favorite. So at a certain point, Margot is crying, like it's kind of doing the what we would call an ugly cry. She's not wearing makeup, but she still looks like an angel, like perfect angel. It's annoying. And she's saying things like, oh, life is so hard and it's hard to be human and that she's not pretty. And I swear I could hear collectively the audience being like, oh, Margot, like this is so wrong for you to be saying this. You look amazing. And then you hear Helen Mirren, who is fabulous in her own right, but who is the narrator of the film. She says something to the effect of like, obviously we understand Margot Robbie is not the person to deliver this line. But I like guffawed in the theater. So that was my favorite line of the whole movie. And I loved hearing Helen Mirren say it. And I just thought it was perfect because, you know, how rare you actually think something and then somebody on the screen says what you're thinking.
Yes, that was one of my favorite jokes as well.
Yeah.
I also liked Ken when they're in the car and he's taken over and he's like, it's Ken Radio now. We play what Ken wants. And he just starts playing Bent by Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
And then that becomes like a recurring theme throughout the movie. Like they all the Kings, all the Kens sing it later in the movie. So yes,
I said quietly, but out loud, make it stop when they were all singing on the guitar.
Sorry. That was not Bent, Push. Matchbox 20 song,
yeah.
Push.
Yeah. I knew what you were talking about. Yeah.
So, yes, but that was a very funny moment. I was like, what a perfect song for that.
Yeah.
That was like total dude bro song
yes.
That Ken would be really into when he was finding out about the patriarchy and men. So, yeah, those were the funniest moments for sure in the movie. There's a lot of other really funny moments, but those were very funny. We also have some fun facts before we get into likes and dislikes. So one is Emerald Fennell, who directed Promising Young Woman, which we did an episode on and was one of Katie's favorite movies the year that came out. She is actually playing Midge in this movie.
Yes, she's the pregnant Barbie who was discontinued. They really razz on her in the film. That was the one thing I didn't recognize because I saw a lot of like, well, I thought there were certain cameos and stuff, but I didn't recognize that was Emerald. And I wanted, this is a correction to Mandy, even though I haven't said it wrong on here. I had read that the woman at the bus stop with Margot was Ruth Handler, who created Barbie, was her granddaughter or daughter. And I've since read that that's not true. So I don't,
okay.
I don't know what's what, but I would rather say that that is not a cameo by anyone that is related to Ruth Handler. But speaking of being related, the one thing I recognized immediately that I was happy I recognized, Scott Evans is in the film. He plays one of the Kins, and I knew who he was. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's Chris Evans' brother, because they're very close. He's funny. He goes on a lot of red carpets with Chris Evans. And he was a pretty funny background Ken.
Very nice. And then also Margot and her husband, Tom Ackerley, were two of the producers on this movie. So she was really one of the creative minds behind it with Greta Gerwig. Yeah. And they worked on this, you know, even though Greta directed it. It seems like it was a pretty collaborative effort between the two of them. And then also Noah Baumbach, who is married to Greta Gerwig, who helped write the script. So.
And then Ruth Handler, if you are interested, they do talk about her quite a bit in the film, who created Barbie. If you listen to that episode I referred to of the Daily podcast, they talk quite a bit about Ruth Handler. She did get in trouble for tax evasion, among other things. I mean, she made some questionable decisions, but she did give us Barbie.
So we'll get into our likes now for this movie. We've talked about the cast a little bit already, but I think in both of our opinions, this is just a perfectly cast movie. I mean, I can't see anybody else other than Margot Robbie playing Barbie.
Yeah.
I can't see anybody else other than Ryan Gosling playing Ken. I mean, those roles just fit so perfectly. You mentioned Michael Cera as Alan. We haven't talked about Will Ferrell yet, but I thought he was pretty good in this movie.
I loved Issa Rae as the president.
Yeah. Yep, she was very good.
She had a couple lines that I thought were just hysterical. And America Ferreira is someone that I haven't seen in a lot of things. I saw her in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. But I thought she was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was very good in her mm-hmm. role as a supporting character as well. So Simu Liu was good as one of the Kins.
I forgot to mention Rhea Perlman was in this. I didn't mention her as the supporting cast. She plays Ruth Handler. She, of course, was with Danny DeVito forever. We've seen her in Matilda and some other things. She was great. That was a fun little cameo I wasn't expecting.
Another like with this is that it's very well paced. Obviously, it's a comedy partly, so that helps as well when you've got jokes and funny things happening. I think that makes time go faster. But there was no point where I looked at my watch where I wondered how much time was left.
Right.
Also, this movie is under 2 hours, and I think that's good for a Barbie movie. We might be saying something different if this was 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 40 minutes or something. But I think it's a really tight script. It's a quickly paced story, and I think that worked pretty well.
Yes, agreed. For me, I don't even know what to narrow this down to. I thought the costumes, makeup, set design, and production design were exceptional. I mean, to me, there was not a false note. I thought this truly was like the best Barbie world I could imagine. Everything that everybody wore, everything about all the Barbies, their hair and makeup was immaculate. So impressive. And I don't think it's one singular person's credit either. I think whoever hired the casting director, the makeup artist, the hair, everything, just did a tremendous job. I do think production value wise might be the best I've seen all year as far as all of that is concerned.
And this movie, too, had a fairly high budget, but not crazy, $145 million. And I think what they were able to do with that, based on some of these other movies Indiana Jones had, close to $300 million budget. And this looks way cooler than Indiana Jones does for half the price in terms of production design, like you mentioned, costumes, sets, things like that. So I think it really just goes to show that, depending on, you know, if you use your money wisely and if you have a good vision, you can do some cool things with not a ton of money in today's standards. And we're going to talk about Oppenheimer, too. And that movie had even less of a budget than Barbie. So there's two movies there that really did some cool things with not huge budgets. So I think that's commendable, being able to do that with not unlimited funds. So.
And another thing I liked that goes along with that I found equally as impressive with both Oppenheimer and Barbie is they didn't use CGI. So things to create Barbie's world and the tricks and everything they use, that was not CGI, which Jared and I on the last few movies have really harped on how bad certain special effects are. Mission Impossible, we thought they did a good job. But Indiana Jones especially was a standout for probably some of the worst special effects I've ever seen in my life. And Barbie, she didn't have to use any of that. And to think she kept the budget where it was and then didn't use CGI, that proves that we can have a very interesting, extremely well-done movie without CGI.
I don't know if you've seen, there's a clip on social media right now of one of the scenes with the car where they kind of show you a little bit of behind the scenes of how they did that, like with the moving like background and then side pieces and stuff. So yeah, that was cool to see. And again, it's cool that it was practical effects because I think, I don't know if the person that goes and sees three movies a year can tell the difference, but I can tell you, as you know, the both of us that go see a lot of movies a year, we can tell the difference pretty easily. And I'm sure you can too, if you're listening, because you know, if you're listening to this, you probably really enjoy movies. And I think it's kind of obvious when there's really bad CGI and when something's done that's practical. So another like was the soundtrack. The soundtrack's great. Lots of pop on this soundtrack. So like Dua Lipa, Lizzo, Billie Eilish, Charlie XCX did Khalid. A song. Khalid did a song. Kid Laroi did a song. Of course, Ryan Gosling's big musical number as well.
I'm just Ken.
Anywhere else, I'd be a 10. that's his motto. So, but yeah, music fit really well. I thought the Dua Lipa song fit well at the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
That was a great kind of song for that, you know, sequence and dance number and stuff. And then I really liked the Charlie XCX song too, that's during the chase scene when Barbie and Will Ferrell are kind of chasing each other. I thought that was really fit well for that moment too.
The Dua Lipa song is a bop. It's been playing in my head over and over for days.
Let's see here. Another like that we have is that this movie is very original as well. You know, in a time where we get so many movies that are based on, this is based on IP, obviously. It's based on, you know, a doll and a toy.
Yes.
But it is an original kind of concept, an original movie.
Very good. Jared, I'm so impressed with your use of IP, because that, I think that came up actually on the Daily Podcast when they talked about it, which I, you know, would forget. IP is intellectual property, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. So it's basically something that's like, just,
it's an object. It's something they already have.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I even debated. I was like, I don't know if some people would argue that it's not original. I just think here I put in the notes, because I'll just jump ahead. This is what I loved about it, like wrapped up together. The movie revolved around women. That's always a winner with me. It was done well. It did not involve explosions, romance, car chases, excessive violence, or superheroes. And I think that is so few and far between these days. That if a movie can do that, I'm just shooketh to my core, basically. So I loved it, and I was extremely impressed by that.
I like that I have that goes along with that is I really appreciate that Mattel, as the company that owns Barbie, let Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach write this script and do the movie that they wanted to make. I feel like they could have been a little more protective. They could have said, hey, some of those disses towards Barbie or towards some of our other products we don't want in there, but they allowed that to stay in, and I think it really adds to the movie, adds a lot of the humor to the movie. So I'm glad they didn't just like basically wash it down and say, hey, everything you say about Barbie has to be positive because we're the ones that own the toy and we're letting you use the rights for this movie. I appreciated that, and obviously they've like let Barbie be in Toy Story and stuff too, but this is obviously a little more serious take on it than in those Toy Story movies. But I appreciate that them as the company were like, yeah, just go ahead and make the movie that you want to make with Barbie.
Right. And it's going to benefit them. Do you know how many Barbies and Barbie related things? I mean, it's going to help Mattel. I'm trying to, one thing that was, I was happy about, I did not go down a rabbit hole investigating the plot points of this film before it came out, but the few things that were divulged to me through just random things on social media were plot points. They all turned out to be wrong, which that's so cool when people's guesses about a film are wrong. Like I had read one where they said this was going to be, and I think I even said it on the podcast that I read it. Somebody said this was going to be like Wizard of Oz. Like she had to go to like Emerald City or something, and that wasn't it. And I thought that was really cool. And it just turned out to be so different and much more sentimental than I expected it to be as well.
I heard another thing, too, that people thought it was going to be like a multiverse movie just because of the multiple Kens and Barbies. They thought she was going to go to like tons and tons and tons of different places instead of just going basically to the the real world and then back to Barbie land. So I like that they didn't do that aspect either. I mean, obviously there's a lot of Kens and a lot of Barbies in this, but they're all living in that like one area and one universe. And so it makes sense for the story. And I like that they did not explore the multiverse thing 100%, because sometimes that can be hard to follow too as a viewer if you're like bouncing around and going to a bunch of different places. So we also have some cast standouts as well. For me, I think it was Ryan Gosling. I think he just steals the show as Ken. He's a lot of the humor in this movie for sure. His character progression is very interesting, where at the beginning of the movie he's like, guys don't really matter, we just kind of do, you know, what Barbie wants us to do. And then when he gets in the real world, he sees that that perspective is 100% flipped, and that, you know, men basically have all the power in the real world, unfortunately. And he discovers that and is very intrigued by that. And so I thought that his playing of that character was very good. His ability to have fun with that character. And also, like, Ryan Gosling, one of the, you know, biggest actors that we have right now, was not opposed to playing Ken and kind of acting kind of stupid in this movie at the expense of himself. So I appreciated that too, that his ego was not too large to play Ken in the Barbie movie.
Agreed. I think that's what makes Ryan Gosling so attractive. And so this was another point of mine. I do think this is about Barbie. I can't really say one person carried this film though, which was cool. It was truly an ensemble effort. I think everybody rose to the challenge. But I did think, as far as like scene stealers, Ryan Gosling to me and Kate McKinnon were the two that I was just beside myself with laughter. Kate McKinnon especially, we all know she's so funny from SNL, but she was like this creepy, what did they kept saying, like, an overplayed with doll or a misshapen. I don't know what they said, but she, whatever they referred to her as, made me sad for her, because she basically, people played too hard with her. So she's got like weird drawings all over her face. She's always doing the splits. She's very strange, but I just thought she was hysterical, and I could not keep a straight face anytime Kate McKinnon was on the screen, even if she was just in the background doing the splits. And I thought Ryan is exceptional, and I have seen a lot of reviews come in about just his comedic talent. Like, he really is naturally very gifted at comedy, which I already knew this, but I do understand some people might not have picked up on that, because he's had some very serious roles.
Yeah, and I think that is another like of just Ryan Gosling in general, is a lot of times on this show we will talk about how we want actors to kind of expand and do some roles that are maybe outside of their comfort zone, or not do the same thing over and over again. And I feel like we'll probably talk about that as well with Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer for sure, when we review that on the next episode. But I think for Gosling to be able to play this character and then also play like a serious character in Drive or Blade Runner, but then also do those comedic roles like in Crazy Stupid Love, or do more of a romantic role in The Notebook. I mean, he's got a lot of range, so I think that's impressive.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess, do you have any other likes before we move on to dislikes?
My last thing, I kind of alluded to this, but I found this movie to be surprisingly sentimental. There were some things I disliked I will talk about. Really, there's like one thing kind of that stuck out to me, but I was impressed. I think Greta in particular is so good at this, where she can be hysterical and write these really quirky, funny, bizarre characters, but then they'll talk about stuff that is so poignant and so heartwarming and relatable. And I think that is partially because she's a female, but I think she's just a really good writer and director. So credit to her. I was impressed. And the overall message of this film, which, not to ruin it, but they basically talk about like living in a plastic world or a false world where everything's perfect versus being human and the human experience. And I didn't expect it to be that deep, and I found that really powerful.
Yeah, I would say too that she's kind of done that in her three most recent movies now. She's had that play out, where Little Women is a little bit more of a serious story, but obviously still has some moments where there's a lot of emotional depth to it. And even Lady Bird, which is more of a comedy, near the end of it, gets really kind of emotional as well, as Saoirse Ronan's character is kind of reflecting on high school and what she's going to do and college and in adulthood and things like that. So yes, she's very good at writing some of those emotional moments and some of those bigger depth moments on screen that maybe you don't get maybe from a movie like this if it's written by somebody else that's not Greta Gerwig. So we'll move on to dislikes now. My main dislike, not with the movie, but with my theater experience, is I had the people sitting next to me for this were wild. So it was two teenagers. One of them, like during the movie, was putting on like blush and eyeshadow and very strange in the dark. During the film. Okay. They were also both talking to each other basically the entire time at full
disrespect.
Volume.
Disrespect. Get out of here.
Every time a song started, they would start dancing. One of them, like their icy or soda or whatever was empty, but they kept like slurping on it. So it's just making a ton of noise. So they were just not good moviegoers in general. So that's nothing to do with Barbie the movie, but the movie going experience for the people sitting next to me was not great.
So I had something kind of similar. This is what's horrible, though. I now cannot remember if this was in Oppenheimer or Barbie. I do know for Mission Impossible, which we saw last week, someone brought a toddler. Like, I think probably for maybe 5-year-old. And I thought this is inappropriate. Like, nothing about this movie. It's not like this graphic nudity or anything, but like this movie is not appropriate. Nor is it going to be a quiet film, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? And if, you know, with all due respect, I sympathize for anyone who can't find a babysitter or something, but I feel like if you can't get someone to care for a toddler, it's maybe better to not go to the movies that night than to bring a toddler that could see something potentially inappropriate and also be extremely disruptive. And I can't remember if this was Barbie or Oppenheimer, but I know that there was a straight up infant, like newborn child in one of them. And I was like, are you joking? And they were screaming and they eventually got taken out of the theater. But I thought both movies, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter about the movie, but especially Oppenheimer, there's some graphic sexual content in that movie.
And Oppenheimer is just very loud in general.
It's very about loud bombs. Movie. I mean, yeah. So that was weird. And Barbie, although I wouldn't say Barbie's quite as inappropriate, just come on. I don't understand. And I don't understand how it happens twice in one week of me going to the movies. But that also happened to me. Okay. And then, for dislikes, I'm interested to hear what you think.
I didn't really have that many. Okay. I thought that this was a pretty good movie. I also understand as a man that it's not really a movie made for me. And I think I would say one of my dislikes is some of the conversation around the film. It seems like some men are not realizing that and are not understanding that. I would say that I've seen some comments about this movie that people are not enjoying it due to the content or due to the being anti-men or something like that. And I would say that I just don't feel like that was the point of this movie. It's a movie about Barbie and it's a movie about empowerment for women and the realization that, you know, in the real world, unfortunately, women do not have a lot of the power and do not have a lot of the opportunities that men do. So I would say that's just a dislike as a whole with some of the conversation surrounding this film. That it seems like people just don't really understand it fully.
Yes, I do. And also, Jared, I applaud you for going because I definitely don't think Arjun said he liked this, but I mean, I could just tell like this movie was not life changing for him either. I think you're right. Maybe not the demographic that this is written for, but I still think it's great. I do think it's great. So many men are supporting this film though and going, which is awesome. For me, one thing, I don't know if you thought this, Jared, but I thought the trailer gave away some of the best lines in the entire film. Like there were, and maybe it's because I'd seen it so many times, the trailers. And I don't think I went out of my way to watch them extra times. I just, by going to movies, I'd seen it so many times. There were so many lines that I knew exactly what was about to happen. Or even things like one of the best parts is Barbie saying, "Do you guys ever think about death?" And everything just comes to a standstill. That line is so funny, but I'd seen it so many times in previews that it kind of lost its, it didn't have the effect on me it would have if it was the first time I'd heard it. And there was a lot of that in this film. I mean, I probably think there's 6 moments or something, big moments that I'd seen in the trailers that I already knew were going to happen. So I think that made it lose some of its appeal for me. And then another thing, so I guess I have 3 things. My second thing is I liked the scene with Ruth at the end, which again, people, I mean, there are some spoilers, but basically she has a heart to heart with Ruth. All I'll say is I thought that was poignant, but I thought how they got there and kind of like the location and all that, I thought that scene was a little weird. It felt a little out of place when the rest of the movie was like pastel, vibrant, loud, busy. And maybe that's what they wanted, was like a very big difference, but it felt like it didn't quite belong in that film.
No, I had the same thought as you about that final scene, and I didn't know if it was just my perspective of the film or not, but good to hear that you also did kind of dislike it. I just thought if there was any dislike that I had, it's that they really didn't stick the landing for this movie. That last 6-7 minutes or whatever that during that scene is kind of, I felt kind of awkward and strange. I know some people did like the sequence with like all the home videos of the women, but I thought that was a little odd given its place in the movie as well, just because we hadn't done anything like that up to that point in the movie, and it was a little bit jarring. So
agree, and it reminded me of Babylon, and I know so many people didn't like Babylon, but I thought Babylon did that better, and I thought it made more sense with Babylon.
Yes,
because
I think
that was
so
a
too.
Movie about the history of movies and filmmaking, and this, I agree with you. I liked the clips, but I just thought they were a little. I agree with you. It felt like, what? Where is this coming from?
And then like after, the only thing I was going to say after that is like that scene ends and then she's in the real world. And then like the movie, you know, there's a funny joke about her going to the gynecologist and then boom, the movie's over. So it was kind of weird to like pop her back in the real world for 3 minutes and then crack a few more jokes and then have it end.
Yeah. I did like that the last line was about the gynecologist, because as a female, I thought that is so funny, because the gynecologist is like, it's a humbling experience that is such a like a human thing that most people don't like to do, but it's like very distinctly human. I thought that was really funny, but I agree with you. Like just, I think the way you said it was perfect. I just feel like they didn't quite stick the landing. Mm-hmm. My last thing that I didn't like, I hope I don't get hate for this. I just felt like some people left the movie and they were like, my God, that was everything. That is the end all be all of movies. And I didn't feel that way. And I thought, is something wrong with me? But I tried to pinpoint what it was. I was glad. I'm not a huge Will Ferrell fan. I don't hate him, but I'm not a big fan. I was glad he wasn't nearly in as much of the film as I expected, because that would have upset me. But some parts of this film reminded me of Will Ferrell movies and some like that. I felt like some of the humor was much too forced or kind of dumb. Not at all. Like, I didn't think most of what Ken said was dumb, or even Barbie. I just thought some of it was trying too hard and it didn't need to, because so much of the writing was naturally funny. And so many of the actors are like gifted comedians already that I felt like some of the jokes, I felt like there were almost too many jokes and some were trying way too hard. It felt slapsticky. I know that's not a word, but it just felt a little too forced for me. And there were points where like I didn't laugh and everybody else was laughing. And I kind of awkwardly laughed because I felt like the only person in the theater that wasn't laughing. So I don't know a better way to explain that, but I do think that I think the accolades are deserved, but I that was a definite drawback for me.
I would say for me, there were parts where like I would think something was funny, but like the rest of the theater didn't think it was funny. Like it would be like some dry humor or something like that. But it seemed like our theater did like some more of the slapsticky stuff. But like you said, I don't really enjoy that type of comedy. So I would say sometimes the pace of the jokes was a little too much too. Like there'd be one and then you'd barely get the laugh done with that one and then here comes another one, but maybe it's not as good, so like maybe just cut back on some of those a little bit. I did like Will Ferrell in this movie. I think that Greta did a good job of using him in small doses, which I think is probably the best way to use Will Ferrell, is like 3-minute scene and then on to the next thing. That works out very, that doesn't let you get, I don't, annoyed's not the word, but just like exhausted at his style of comedy pretty much. So
yeah,
but the jokes, I will agree with you. Some of the jokes I thought fell a little flat and were just not as funny, but some I thought were hilarious. So, okay, well, I think we're ready to give our scores now for Barbie.
Yes.
I think I go first on this
You
episode.
Do go first.
So I'm going to rate this pretty high. This is definitely my top 10 of the year so far.
Yes.
And it might still be there at the end of the year for sure. So I'm going to give this a 92 out of 100. Is that what you're going to give it? Okay, nice. So
I'm sorry if you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought it was one of the funniest movies I've seen this year, if not the funniest movie. Great script.
Yes.
Great acting. The world of Barbie looked very cool. So loved the Mojo Dojo Casa house. We didn't mention that, but had to mention the Mojo Dojo Casa house. And I am Knuff.
That was good. That was really good.
So liked all that. And yes. I just thought it was a fun time at the movies. So.
Well, okay. So I'm right there with you. I had such minor dislikes for this film. And what we just went through, those likes, that was almost more likes than I've named of any movie in the past entire year, not even just this calendar year. So this was a very easy movie to like. It's currently my second favorite film of the year.
Okay.
And I'm already regretting, I gave Mission Impossible a 96, and I can't remember if Jared and I were still recording last week or if it was right when we stopped the recording, but I said to Jared, I'm already regretting 96 because I feel like it might go down a little. I still really liked Mission Impossible, but I did probably like Barbie more, but I'm giving it a 92 because I do think there were definitive things I didn't like. But it was a great movie. I'm so happy it's getting the praise it's getting and the money. So way to go and good job, Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, we both really enjoyed it. I think for me in my top 10, it would be in there. I don't know where it would be at this point. Probably like sixth or seventh if I had to slot it somewhere. It'd be a little lower than you, I think. I think I liked some things like Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe a little bit more.
That's
some
not
other
even
movies.
In my, that might be 10 top for me. 10. It's going to fall off. It's going to fall way off.
We'll have a different top 10 at the end of the year.
I know.
Which will be interesting,
I was like, this is where we start to divide. It's very exciting.
So you can follow the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram, and then just search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook and you'll be able to find us there. Our Letterboxd profiles are in the description wherever you listen to this episode. You can just click in there. You can also get the social media links in there as well. Be sure to rate and review wherever you listen. That really helps us out as well. And of course, next we're going to talk about the two-parter of the big box office weekend, and that is Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer. So we are going to try to get that episode out pretty soon after this one comes out. So be looking for that in the next couple of days because we wanted to hit on both movies pretty quickly. So, but excited to talk about Oppenheimer.
And then coming up soon is our 200th episode. I can hardly believe it. I'm very proud of us. So stay tuned for that as well. That will be after Oppenheimer.
Yeah, we've got some fun stuff planned for our 200th episode that we think you'll enjoy. So
until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.